All right, I've waited the last 20 minutes. I want to know, what are you going to surprise me with?
Well, I've been dealing with it for 2 weeks because I was going to play it, wasn't going to play it, wasn't going to play it, didn't fit in, doesn't fit in.
Right.
But all the headlines today dealing with transgender items with men and women sports, I thought today was the day.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't know how to answer the question. I find myself sitting here with you, and I don't have the answers either. But I want you to listen to a man that I trust a lot. His name's John MacArthur.
Okay.
And I want you to listen to the question he's asked in a question and answer session and listen to how he answers.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here.
Hello, I'm Claire, and my question is in regards to transgender. I have an older sibling, actually, who is transgender, and my question is just how to approach that biblically, specifically in regards to what pronouns to use, and just in general.
Yeah, Claire, bless your heart for asking that. Simply stated, there is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY. That's it. God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality. This notion that you are something other than your biology is a cultural construct intended as an assault on God. Now, your sibling may not see it that way, but that's what it's all about. And as more than anything, in fact, I was reading an article by R.C. Sproul just yesterday in which he said that the greatest revolution in American history was neither the American Revolution or the Industrial Revolution. It is the sexual revolution. This has become the most far-reaching, damaging of all revolutions that's ever occurred in this country or any other. The problem with buying into this is it is a kind of personal suicide. It is literally the end of your existence in the way that God designed you. I've said this a few weeks ago. A person who is in the transgender world is 19 times more likely to kill himself or herself, because you have completely cut yourself off from reality and from normal relationships. This is the end of your identity. This is the end of your ability to have a marriage that is a real marriage. It's the end of your ability to have a family. It's the end of your ability to connect and to be a part of a society and a culture and have a future and belong. It is a kind of extreme isolation that can be no more extreme. You can't get more extreme than saying, I am not who I actually am. Because that becomes an utterly imperceptible identity. You literally have disconnected yourself from existence. You aren't who you are. You are some fantasy person in your own mind. Look, this is going to continue to escalate because we live in a world where people are told to construct whatever they want themselves to be. This is what the internet does to people. It allows you to create yourself the way you want to create yourself. You can access whatever is out there, and you can create your own world, your own reality, and you can live in that world. The isolation of this particular aspect of it is so sad and so tragic. I read the other day a surgery was done in Australia on a five-year-old to do a sex change. These kinds of parents ought to be imprisoned who would lead a five-year-old, and what kind of doctor would ever do that in a hospital in Australia? This is a kind of scarring for life. So I don't mean by being so firm that you want to be lacking in love when you communicate this, but I think the only way you can address it honestly is to say, God made you. And God made you exactly the way He wanted you to be. You're not only fighting God in His physical creation, you are even more importantly fighting God in His sovereignty. You are fighting God in His spiritual relationship to you. This is a war on God. I'm not going to let God tell me who I am. I'm not going to let God define me. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to define myself. And you're in Romans 1, and that's a reprobate mind. That's a mind that doesn't even function. So while saying that with firmness so you understand it, I think this has to be dealt with love and compassion, because there's some holes in the heart of someone going in that direction. There's a lack of being loved and accepted and feeling wanted and needed and significant. So on the one hand, the reality of that lie and deception is so damaging, so destructive, so isolating, so corrupting, that it needs to be confronted. But on the other hand, that confrontation can't exaggerate what already exists, which is a sense of feeling isolated in relationships. So you've got to find the fine line between confronting the error of it to protect the person and at the same time providing the love and affirmation that that person needs to be all that God would have that person be. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a tough, young lady asking about a sibling, and he says, walk that fine line between love and understanding the truth.
Do you know why I had a hard time playing this morning?
No, not really, because it was great.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah. But I think it fits with today's what's going on.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, we live in such a evil world. These words, if you hear somebody listen to this on the other side, they're going to poo-hoo, like I said, the whistleblower. They're going to poo-hoo him.
Well, of course.
But how could he say it? He brought it back to, look, I've been very firm in what I've said. But then, you know what I said? We got to talk about the love side of this.
Yeah.
Keith, that's a fine line. So
I love you. But I love you, but God made you who you are and who He wanted you to be.
You and I, on this program, every morning, have no idea who's listening.
No.
And there could be some transgender person listening today. And I hope you heard that in the love that it was given. Because God doesn't make mistakes. There's the old, I don't know if it was a saying or what it was, but God doesn't make no junk.
Absolutely.
Do you remember what we talked about the day before yesterday with the astronomer guy from Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
When does life begin?
Yeah.
And I said when the sperm fertilizes the egg, immediately,
bam,
you're a Purdue fan, right? I said, and he listed how many other things.
Oh, yeah, your hair color, your eyes.
Everything.
All kinds of stuff.
From that moment.
Yep.
And then we start arguing over when should we take the life of the child in an abortion.
Mm. Wow.
Well, let's go back for just a second to Matthew West, Grace on Grace. Mm-hmm. Only by the grace of God. Why should I be able to sit here and say these things? Only by the grace of God. And I encourage people today to listen to these type of information from Mr. MacArthur and others.
Now, where would you go get that? Because I think that's something that people that have this in their family, and more and more people are. If you recall, one of our guests said he speaks all over in Christian speakings and ask if families have something like that. 90% of them now will raise their hand that somebody in their family is dealing with it. So, people, that's a great explanation, and where could we find it?
I'm going to ask Darren to put that on our Facebook site, the website, and he can put a link. He can play this during this
on the
segment.
KLFCRadio.com website?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll have him do that. There's John MacArthur from the Masters. He does that Masters program out in California.
Correct.
Do you remember his name all right?
John MacArthur? Yes.
Boy, he's like David Jeremiah.
Oh, man.
When they speak, and Charles Stanley when he was alive.
Yep.
I heard Tony Evans again. When they speak, you just sit up and you listen.
You do. Yeah, and my heart goes out to that young lady because she sounded young anyway.
She had a
sibling.
Yeah. What pronoun do I use?
Wow.
Crazy, huh?
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
You know? Well, Tony Evans and Charles Stanley and David Jeremiah and Mr. Kennedy from the Coral Ridge Church, and thank you, and Billy Graham and his grandsons and his son, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for Christian Radio, where we can point people in the direction of Jesus Christ. Not to me and not to Keith, because I tell you what, we're men that have feet of clay. Only by the grace of God can we stand here. Grace, upon grace. Mr. O'Neill.